What's up, everybody? Stampire here, and just wanted to let you know on today's podcast, Daniel and Quinn are going to cover the league standings for the Vampire League, take a look ahead at what the playoff picture looks like in muddy waters, break down the Week 10 matchups, and take a look at QPC's season-long projections. Across the board in the Ray Lewis League, Quinn and Daniel are going to walk us through the Sandlot lineup and how they all match up to members of the Ray Lewis League. That and a whole lot more coming up on this episode. And we're back. After a week 9 bye week, I'm joined live and loud in the Live Loud studios by Quinn Carson, the Bonafex Trees himself. Quinn, tell me, with the week off, did you use it to rest the hamstrings, get iced up and ready to go this week, or did you spend a little R&R time in Vegas, maybe, you know?
Yeah, Daniel had a good time. Definitely had to rest up after the Halloween episode. Again, we had a great time making it. If you haven't listened yet, it's our last episode, the Carolina Magic episode. It's the battle between a priest and a witch.
Man torn between his love and his duty.
Yeah. And I think we presented something great. Came back with some great reviews. Had an amazing conversation with my friend Ray Ray, who's a podcast producer for the BBC and NPR. She's like a freelancer. And she was stoked on it. She thought it was very cool. So we're making gold here, people.
Absolutely. And Quinn, after a week off, there's a lot to talk about. We're right in the thick of the playoff chase with about a third of the season left in both leagues. We're going to take a look at the league standings. We're going to review where the QPC projections are sitting. And we're going to take a look at the Week 10 matchups in both the Ray Lewis League and the Vampire League. We've got all that and more coming up on this episode of the Vampire Journals podcast. Live from the Live Loud studios in Fayetteville, Arkansas, it's the Vampire Journals podcast, starring Turd Ferguson and Smokin' Jay Cutler.
Featuring Mr. Solo Dolo and Deacon Dorf.
Tonight's musical guest, the Bonafex Trees.
And your host, Stan Pyre, the Vampire.
On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone who will surround us to pieces for that inch. We claw with our fingernails for that inch. Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's gonna make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
Daniel, that intro had me hyped.
You hyped? You hyped, son?
Like that scene from The Program, like in the third act when the linebacker comes off the field from like stopping that like fourth and goal, but he's like wired on steroids. Yeah. And the coach, like, you see me coming to you like so excited that I accomplished the goal. And then you see that we did it. For not, it was with performance-enhancing drugs. So you put that in me, Daniel.
Great, great. Quinn, I'm glad that you're pumped. I'm glad that you're psyched. And so let's start off with the league where you've got a much more realistic chance of making the playoffs.
Wait a second. I've only got two more wins in that league than in the other league.
Yeah, but you're only, you're only one game out of a playoff position. And, of course, I'm talking about the Vampire League. Quinn, you and I currently sit tied at the bottom of the standings with 3-6 records. Steven on the absolute edge of the playoff picture, currently at 4-5, just a game ahead of us in fourth place. Third place sits Kurt Taylor, Deacon Dorf. I should say Kurt and Turd Ferguson, Robbie Courtway are both tied at 5-4, so we can call that a tie for second. And then the golden boy, Mr. Solo Dolo, Chase Vickery, sitting at 7-2 after 9 weeks, a 2-game lead on second place. ESPN currently gives him a 98% chance of making playoffs. He is the, so he's in the yellow jersey so far through 9 weeks. Quinn, tell me, what are a couple of surprises or observations you have as we take a look at the league in currently week 10 out of 14 regular season weeks?
It's wild to me, Daniel, how much the playoff picture has evolved, I guess, over the last 3 weeks or so that we haven't really covered. It's just the fact that, you know, Chase is going on a win streak. He's got two losses this year, and they've been to me, who's at the bottom of the standings right now. So that's sort of what's keeping me almost weirdly afloat, is that my two wins against Chase are something unique to the league and allow me to push forward. But also there's just a lot of losses in the bottom end, and it's muddy down there. So it's going to be really interesting to see who crawls out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. We've seen, you know, a lot of these teams impacted either by vampire losses or injuries. You know, if we take a look at just the two teams on either side of myself in the standings, Quinn, you know, you lost Austin Eckler earlier in the season to the vampire. Tell me, how has your team looked from an injury perspective so far this season?
I mean, I could, you know, him and haw like I have in the past about the injuries I've sustained. Chris Carson may be coming back. He's the guy that's been out the longest for me with a neck injury. And then Kareem Hunt's calf injury is pretty serious. And then Robert Tonyan. So, you know, those three guys are kind of out for the rest of the season, or at least they're going to be coming back in very, very, very slow form. But for this week, I've got a couple of questionable people. Najee Harris was questionable on Thursday with a foot injury, and he practiced today, and so they've taken the questionable mark off of his name. But Alvin Kamara's got a knee thing. DK Metcalf has always been sitting out the last few weeks, the second practice of the week, and so he's questionable right now, but he might not be questionable by Sunday. So playing the vampire this week, I have a lot of players who are not necessarily 100% going into a big battle.
Now, if we take a look at the guy that's just one game ahead of us in the standings, talking about Smoking Jay Cutler, Stephen Fox, sitting at 4-5. You know, he's had maybe even worse luck than Quinn or myself this season. He's been plagued by both injuries and succumbed to a loss to the vampire. So Stevens had Christian McCaffrey. We've always kind of penciled in as an RB1. Dealt with an injury throughout most of the early part of the season, is just now returning to the field as well. Saquon Barkley has dealt with both an ankle injury and COVID. Guys like Julio Jones, T. Higgins, Nick Chubb, these players have all missed time. And this culminated in his loss to the vampire in his second run through the season schedule. Steven had previously traded a quarterback to Quinn, and it left him with one healthy quarterback on the roster, Kyler Murray. That did not last for long, as Steven lost to the vampire, and I took Kyler to try and affect Steven, put him in a pinch, because he has been the person directly above me in the standings. Steven reacted by acquiring Dak Prescott from Chase, but had to go quarterbackless against Kurt Taylor and managed to come out victorious, even though Dak Prescott missed the game with calf injury. Dak has since returned to form. As I mentioned before, McCaffrey is just now returning to action. He's still waiting on Saquon Barkley to return healthy. So, Quinn, I've got to ask you, Steven's the person one game ahead of us in the standings. Are you concerned that his team is going to get healthy at the right time and create a little separation in that fourth place spot?
And it's possible. He definitely has been low in strength, but he's got some crucial games coming up. I had a chance to take a look at Steven's schedule and some of the other schedules around the league, and the storyline for the rest of the year with Steven is pretty thick. I think he's got to play a high scoring Turd Ferguson. He's got Chase this week. So these 2 weeks he's playing the two most volatile players in the league. So I think we'll see really where he's at in the standings after this, regardless of where his injury situation is.
Yeah. Worth noting just real quick, sorry to interrupt, Steven currently is the low scoring team in the league. He sits 11 points behind the fifth highest scoring team in the league. Sorry to interrupt there.
Yeah, and the points total is something he's pointed out to me, no pun intended, before on a conversation. Because if we did get to a tiebreaker situation right now, I'm leading in the points. So if him and I were trying to get into the playoffs, that's something that he's aware of. So while you're injured and not scoring a lot of points, that's something to worry about as it comes closer to the playoff picture. But I did want to jump in for a second about the running back situation. You know, Daniel, we had an auction draft, and so that obviously meant that we were able to offer up people that we wanted to go for, and you didn't offer up trash that we had to bid on. So really, the people that we offered up in the auction and bid on were the people that we wanted in the league. And for the most part, we pretty much did well in catching the top 30 running backs in the league, looking back at how the season's gone, minus people like Gus Edwards or Trey Sermon, who are either injured or just not getting playing time. The rest have been top players and starters for teams. Some have ended up on the injury list in the IR for the rest of the season or for large portions of it, but for the most part, the top tier of running backs in the league were the people that we picked up out of the auction draft. But one thing I wanted to question is, now that we have all these injuries, we have all these things, did we perhaps go for the top 30 used running backs in the league? And then now through injury and through IR and stuff, we're a little light on our part of the league in running backs now. So do you think that there should have been a little bit more handcuffing perhaps at the very end of our auction draft for some of these starters?
Well, I think we're just, you know, we expanded the bench a little bit to take away some of the tools the vampire has access to. And we've seen, like you just said, a lot of running backs were taken. But I think that we still, you know, I've been there on the other side where you're not the vampire and you really just hate to second guess. And, you know, if you're in a snake draft or an auction draft with 10, 12 competitors, you feel a lot more comfortable taking risks either later on in the draft or low dollar spends. But I feel like there's just such an obligation to accumulate talent in this league. And, you know, it'll be interesting moving forward if somebody takes more of a gamble of securing players that you think are going to be healthy the full way, handcuffing players. And it'd be interesting if somebody just really went all in on having a healthy roster and roster options throughout the season. But that's a risk that I don't think I would have been willing to take this year, even with an extra spot. So if I had been drafting and not been the vampire, I doubt I would have been doing much handcuffing. You know, if I had, I probably would have missed, you know, if instead of, say, taking Cook and handcuffing with Madison, I probably would have landed with like Zeke and Pollard, and where everybody on tape, you see Pollard's definitely talented, but he just doesn't get the touches necessary, and Zeke hasn't missed enough time for him to get a one or two game surge in points scored.
Right.
And just to follow up, you know, somebody like McCaffrey, people weren't even completely sure who the backup was going to be in Carolina coming into the season behind McCaffrey. Chuba Hubbard was somewhat underwhelming, especially compared to how Mike Davis filled those shoes last year. So again, you know, some of the handcuffs that maybe would have made sense before the season wouldn't have been the ones that yielded the most points. And then the ones that make so much sense in hindsight, I think would have been hard to validate or to explain away on draft day.
Yeah. And I think I only qualified maybe as applying maybe the only handcuff of the draft. And I picked up Kareem Hunt, but technically, yeah, he's IR'd, so really the truest handcuff for real intents and purposes this year has been D'Ernest Johnson. So yeah, No one would have gotten to him in the auction draft. But let's take a quick break. And after that, I have one last thought that might make it to where we need to think about handcuffing more running backs in the future. So we'll be right back right after this.
Well, I'm Chad Hemsworth, star of Coat Rack 2, and this is a Miller Lite. Inside a Miller Lite is a fine Pilsner beer brewed with the highest quality ingredients. We use choice hops from the Pacific Northwest, as well as noble size hops, to deliver more taste, aroma, and color. for only 96 calories per 12 ounces. Miller Lite, a fine Pilsner beer.
And we're back. Daniel, we've talked some of the injuries that have plagued the Vampire League and our defense from the Vampire. You've taken, how many players you take? You've taken three players from the league so far.
Correct.
And that's been a combination of the fact that we've had injuries. So you've gotten to play an Alexander Madison in a starting position, you know, from free agency, because you're the only one that's able to use the waiver wire. But in another sense, you've gotten to utilize some of the top talent that we missed on, like a Debo Samuel or a Daryl Henderson.
Tom Brady.
Yeah, Tom Brady, the number one quarterback in the league. We didn't draft him. So the question always is asked in the five families recently, was there enough roster spots taken up for the talent this year? Because now the talent's getting so spread out, especially in like wideouts and other quarterbacks and et cetera. So the idea was floated in the five families this last week about expanding the league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which, you know, isn't a totally new concept. We've thrown it around for a little bit now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm certainly not opposed to it. The one thing that I would say just in terms of kind of vampire fear is that we still have to see how this season shapes out. And it'd,
right.
be, great, it'd be great to bring two people into the league. And I think we should look at it regardless of how I finish as the vampire. But there's still, you know, not to say cliche coach speak, but there's still a lot of season left to be played. And, you know, to spin it, I'm one game out of the playoffs, but to spin it the other way, I'm in last place. You know, only 3 wins, 6 losses. And so I think that, you know, we have seen that the roster expansion has made a difference. I just think also everybody's smarter drafters than we were 3 years ago when we started this thing. And so, you know, consideration of bye week scheduling, when you play the vampire, all that stuff, you know, everybody top to bottom is just better at drafting. So, you know, there's still a long season ahead. And, you know, if you look at my recent track record in terms of scoring, it's been up and down. And so 3 wins, I've not just, you know, it hasn't been the dominance that it was, say, the first 2 years when I was vampire and then Steve in his first run. So I only scored 103 last week, 124 the week before that, 107 4 weeks ago, 96 week four. So, you know, this hasn't been a barn burner. So I would say that, you know, I think we need to kind of separate the notion of having to expand being associated with the vampire dominating, because I don't think that's been the case so far this season.
I agree. And also, we would water down our own rosters a little bit, so the scoring would go down on our own teams as well, but probably not as much as the scoring would go down with you if we entered, what would it be, 28 or something, other draft picks before you'd get to pick from free agency.
Right.
So there's a question there. There's an argument to defend against the vampire. You know, you add two people and you get an even scheduling to where now all teams play the vampire only twice. There's no more three times a charm kind of situation, I don't believe. So
yeah,
there's
no, that's exactly right.
Yeah, there's advantages and disadvantages to adding to the stuff. I personally came down with the idea that if you won this year, I'd be really interested in expanding the league, but I wanted to see how it ends up, because if you won, then that kind of shows me that, like, okay, a person upsets the vampire, but then it's very easy for the vampire to win, because then they would have won, what is it, 2 out of 4 years in a sense, right? Yeah. So with that in mind, you know, I would kind of want to see if there's like some new ways to saturate the market, see if it makes it harder for the vampire to repeat, you know, and there can be more vampires. But if there's a fresh vampire in there, I might be fine with keeping it and checking one more year before.
That's also been another argument I've had specifically this year, not being in the five families, is, you know, it's all good and well when none of y'all are the vampire to suggest adding teams. But yeah, if you or Kurt walks away as the vampire at the end of the year, you know, maybe y'all want to keep things the same way. You know, get a taste for blood, you're compelled to go up more.
Exactly.
And speaking of Kurt, I want to keep moving up the ladder of the standings here in the Vampire League. And talk about two teams tied at 5-4, tied for second place, and tied in league history as former best friends that are now the best of enemies. You know, I'm talking about the blood feud between Bird Ferguson and Deke Dorf. Quinn, give me a breakdown of. Let's start with Kurt's team, Deke and Dorf, 5-4. Kurt's been kind of a pessimist in the league past, always 500 or forever 500. Did not make the playoffs, but he's sitting at 5-4, tied for second place. He's third in the league in score, looks like. So tell me about what he's managed to do, put him in a strong position for playoffs.
Well, this year is, I think, fallen a little bit differently for Deke and Dorf. And it's got to be because of his purchasing power in the auction. I think that Kurt did the best job of doing a Stars and Scrubs approach to the auction draft with the Vampire League. And in honesty, I think that's something that I've been envious of the most, because he's got someone like Tyreek Hill, the vampire killer, and Travis Kelce on most weeks is also a vampire killer. And when you bring in Dalvin Cook and Ezekiel Elliott and even Justin Jefferson, a young threat in the league, like, those are all people that he spent money on and in some sense, had to wait a long time before he picked up other people off his for his bench. And that meant he ended up with Ryan Tannehill's, and he ended up with Robbie Anderson's, who are just not used or whatnot, and Noah Fant at the tight end position as like a really big, really, really far fall off in an act from Travis Kelce. So, he had to risk a lot. And I think that's paid off this year for him the most.
And he really got some pops later in the draft. You mentioned the players that haven't moved on his bench. But he did get a couple of good buy low options. We talked about Tannehill, as he's a number 13 quarterback, hasn't seen a lot of action. He did get Matt Stafford, currently the number 4 fantasy quarterback in the league. And also got Chase Edmonds, who has missed a little bit of time here recently with an injury, but has put up 6 double-digit fantasy games in 9 fantasy weeks. So pretty decent. He's had people kind of move the needle at different times and fill in gaps. And we'll see Odell Beckham Jr. currently on the bench, but recently acquired by the Rams. He has the potential to double dip points between Stafford and OBJ if he does develop a role in that offense.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, his 5-4 could turn into a really good setup. The rest of the year, Deke and Dorf he's going to play Robbie this week. So obviously that's a big rivalry game in a way, but then he's got me, who's a winnable matchup. He's playing the Vampire, obviously, in the final week of the season. And there's a couple big matchups with Steven and Chase still. So, everybody's still got to go through the gauntlet. Everybody in a way has to still pitch through the entire lineup and see what happens for us to really know. But that means that everybody's going to hit the high scores. Everybody's going to hit the Vampires. So it's going to be a big, big time now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so take a look at the other team tied for second place, Moose Courtway's Turd Ferguson. Robbie's a team that is currently leading the league in scoring. But this is a team that got off to a fantastic start and then really kind of got crumpled or really, rocked with a right hand when he lost to me, when he lost the Vampire a few weeks back.
Yep.
This because that week he had Derrick Henry IR with a broken bone in his foot. He had James Robinson get injured and miss time with, I believe it was an ankle injury, a heel injury that caused him to lose time in week 8 and week 9. Together, and most crucially, due to loss, the Vampire lost number 1 wide receiver and fantasy stud Cooper Kupp. Tell me, how does Robbie rebound from losing 2 players for the he's currently got Logan Thomas, tight end, on IR, Aaron Rodgers dealing with COVID and currently a trade, James Robinson, Damian Harris, both with question marks next in their names. How does Robbie weather the storm and make the playoffs in an attempt to go to the championship game for the third year in a row.
You know, it's hard for a team to get up and find their way back to the championship. You know, Daniel, I mean, we saw that in The Last Dance. There's documentaries about it. And more importantly, we saw that in the Buffalo Bills documentary when they went to four Super Bowls and lost them all. So, you know, there's a certain drive there. He's young. You know, he's got James Robinson. He's got Damian Harris. He's got Kyle Pitts, CeeDee Lamb. And he's trying to trust those people to take him in through week 10. All those players who are young and rookies and second years and third years or whatever, you know, they all are averaging over 12 points for this week. So he's really close to having some people. He just needs them to score touchdowns, be a part of their team in like meaningful ways. And if they get on the field, they get on the field. In terms of playing Antonio Gibson, I think that's the big question in his heart this week is what to do with someone like Antonio Gibson. He's had that shin injury still, right? It's like still broken or something.
Or do you know something. Much about the No, I do not.
Yeah, so it's like he's had a fracture or a stress fracture in his shin all year. And so he's sort of been questionable in playing on it. And I just think that he's getting healthier now, finally, and he should be more what he was in week one and two when he scored, you know, gobs of points for his team. He had, and that was without scoring a touchdown. He later in the second 2 weeks, he'd score like 17 and 15 and score two touchdowns against the Saints around the time he started getting injured. So I just think that maybe he should play Gibson this week as opposed to Robinson or Harris and see which one of those is healthiest going into Sunday. And he could beat Kurt, you know? So, but I thought it was super interesting that him and Kurt were the guys trading with each other right now. There's a trade up for vote for Ryan Tannehill to go to Turd Ferguson and Aaron Rodgers, who Robbie, interestingly enough, is just really out on. Did not appreciate.
Robbie and Chase both. Really had opinions on Aaron Rodgers. Yeah,
that was super surprising. I feel like that was like when someone's, you know, fucking with your money. And he's like, are you fucking with my money now? Like, this is, you know, you lied to everybody and now that you're fucking with my money. And so I'm pissed now. I feel like that's what he does. So.
Well, speaking of getting pissed, we've got one team left to cover, and that is the king of getting pissed. The guy who's left the text thread.
I got a story about Chase
multiple years. He's come at Quinn with a knife, a golf club, and a BB gun.
He tried to shoot me with a BB gun.
I'm talking about the designated weed smoker of the group.
Y'all smoke weed?
Today's hit of weed is brought to you by LG Window Air Conditioners, providing heating and cooling needs for those without a central HVAC system. LG air conditioners and heaters offer supreme performance at a low-end cost. Reliable with digital thermostats and remote control options, we offer BTU options for rooms both small and large alike. LG Electronics, here for a brighter tomorrow.
What the only the 7-2 in first place, Mr. Solo Dolo, Chase Vickery. Quinn, you were the best man. Give me the breakdown of how he's been the best man in the league this year.
Well, Daniel, the easiest way to say is he's beaten everybody in the league except for one person, and that's me. And he's cutting that with Patrick Mahomes. A great, you know, Darren Waller, Devontae Adams, all these were high level assets that people thought would be expensive and stuff. But really, it's been the surefire scoring from Jonathan Taylor, I think. The $5 purchase for Chase has come through in such the biggest way. You know, Jonathan Taylor might not look like he's the best in the league, but he's currently ranked second of all running backs. He's had a 30-point game. He's had two 30-point games, a 28-point game, and a 20-point game so far this year, as well as a 21. So he's had six huge scoring efforts, a 17-point game to open the year. And honestly, like, he's buoyed Chase's scoring efforts throughout the season. And he scored high at the right times, too, for Chase to really have some good blowouts. So, you know, Jonathan Taylor, I think, is the silent partner for Chase to make it all the way through to the championship.
Yeah. Chase, one of the few players who has not lost the vampire this season. We talked about luck against a vampire and luck with injuries. Chase's good luck in one half of the equation is really kind of balanced out bad luck on the other side of the board. If we take a look at Chase's bench, this is a really bad situation. Gus Edwards went on the IR after the draft before the season started. Miles Sanders went on the IR last week, ankle injury. Clyde Edwards-Helaire
on the IR first.
IR. Yeah, George Kittle on the IR just came back, now has a questionable designation. DeAndre Hopkins. Yeah, he traded for Russell Wilson, went from Quinn's team to Stevens' team, now to Chase's team. Wilson on the IR, but expected to come back this week. DeAndre Hopkins, questionable, dealing with a quad or hamstring issue for several weeks now. And Calvin Ridley on the IR, out at least another 2 weeks, dealing with some mental issues. So Chase's lineup, he's got rocking in week 10.
Did you get Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
Yeah. Chase only has one option on his bench, Adam Thielen. Projected for 14.6.
Damn,
could have potentially, slotted into the flex spot. Chase opted for Myles Gaskin instead. Got 5.5 fantasy points on that terrible Thursday night game this week.
It's just, when we get to the, let's talk about this third. Can we talk about the Thursday game that we just had?
Yeah, I would love to talk about the Thursday game, the QPC projections, and the Week 10 matchups in the Vampire League. All that and more coming up after a word from our sponsor.
Last summer, Reese Witherspoon and Jack Nicholson brought you the story of a generation.
I don't know what to do, Dad.
Annie, sweet Annie. Don't let anyone tell you what you can do with your boat.
I'm going to build this rack.
Listen, lady, I've been doing boats a long time. You can't just put a rack on a boat.
Never heard of it.
Well, get off of there.
Anna Stewart left the big city in search of life, liberty, and the sea.
I may be from the big city, but that doesn't mean I don't know how to build a rack.
Instead, she would create history.
You can't just come down here and change my life. Boats are all I know.
Oh, get off of there.
As she navigated through the pains and hardships of building a new life, we were placed in a new world, which rested upon the principle that when the world isn't there to support you, you got a rackety, rackety, rack, rack, rack. Rack Witherspoon in Boat Rack.
This boat needs this rack.
Annie, there's one thing I figured out. It's that none of us know, but you still gotta try.
Reintroducing James Vanderbeek.
Anna.
Jimmy.
Rack Witherspoon in Boat Rack.
And we're back. Quinn, you said you wanted to talk about the Thursday night game. I think there's no better perspective to frame that in other than the marquee matchup of the week.
Yeah.
This week, week 10 in the Vampire League, that matchup happens to be your two co-hosts of the Vampire Journals podcast. 2-3-6 teams fighting and clawing with their fingernails to get in the playoffs. Bonefex Trees and Stampire, he's back, motherfuckers. And Quinn, you had three guys going on Thursday night. I had one. Both of our tight ends were in play. And, whatever we were hoping the outcome was, I don't think that was it, right?
No, we didn't get that at all. That was a terrible game. That was another terrible Thursday game that included great teams, honestly, like not like ridiculously dumb or boring teams, or more importantly, teams that aren't fantasy relevant. Both of these teams had players that are fantasy relevant across our league and everybody else's leagues. And I just think that it's just terrible every time. When I played you earlier this season, Daniel, I started Russell Wilson on a Thursday night and he broke his finger on a Thursday and he's been injured ever since. 2 weeks ago, you started a quarterback on a Thursday night, Jalen Hurts. Maybe that was last week or 2 weeks ago. Something happened.
It was Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray, yeah.
My shiny new toy I took from Steven.
Right, right. You had just stolen Kyler Murray, your third, or I believe, player of the year, right? And you you started him on Thursday and he just put up a huge stinker and led to your loss that week. And then last night I decided to start three Ravens. I started Justin Tucker, who I got via trade, and Mark Andrews and Lamar Jackson. And Lamar Jackson just played poorly until basically garbage time when he connected with, luckily, Mark Andrews for a touchdown. And between the three players, I put up 37.72 points. And your Mike Gesicki got zero. So I still have a 51% chance, which actually improved my chances. There was a 50-50 or you had the 51% chance. So I actually swayed the possibility to go, but I did not get what I wanted out of my quarterbacks. And I've just been saying this and saying this and saying this the last few weeks since Russell Wilson and your thing happened, is I just don't think you should play your start. You shouldn't start a quarterback who's playing on a Thursday. I just don't think you should do that.
Yeah. You know, for Jackson, 39 rushing yards is second lowest rushing output of the season. 238 passing yards is third lowest output for passing yards in the season. Just was not good. For Gesicki, he got seven targets on the night. Most of the ones I saw from Jacoby Brissett were not very good. And I stopped watching before Tua came in. So that was wildly frustrating there for Justin Tucker, even, you know, the most accurate kicker in NFL history, missed a field goal last night.
He had made 44 straight and he missed a field goal. And then, you know, in a sense, Mark Andrews he scored more than Lamar Jackson. He had 18 points to Lamar's 15.42. And that was because he pretty much caught most of the passes from Lamar in the second half. He got six receptions for 63 yards and a touchdown. And he's a, you know, knight in shining armor. I had crazy sweat dreams about him the first time I played you, Daniel, because I thought about trying to maybe trading Chase for him. And that week when I played you the first time and lost to you, he put up 45 points. So I had my eye on Mark, and so I'm happy to have him playing for me this week. And I don't know if I can beat you, but that Thursday game was so bad. We look over at Chase's scoreboard, and Chase started Miles Gaskin. Miles Gaskin, 31 yards from scrimmage, 5.5 points scored. Not the best night we wanted from him either, and that was the flex option that Chase chose over Adam Thielen, who's playing this weekend in L.A. So I think that was pretty tough. Deacon Dorf was the last person he played the Ravens defense, and, you know, Ravens lost 4 points, you know, so wouldn't say you should have sat him on this Thursday night or anything, but going back to the quarterbacks, you got to look at it. You know, speaking in the Ray Lewis League, next week we got Matt Ryan and Mac Jones playing on Thursday night, the Patriots versus the Falcons. And so you've got some position players like Damian Harris, you've got Cordarrelle Patterson, and you've got Mike Davis. You've got these players on a Thursday. I don't know if I'd want to start them. I think they're going to have a stinker of a Thursday night game too. So,
yeah. So if we hone in on this marquee matchup of the week, Quinn, you told me before the podcast you feel like you could maybe lose one more game and still have a shot at the playoffs. I've kind of echoed the same sentiment to myself about my team. This is, in my mind, it's a loser-leaves-town match in terms of a playoff team. Both of us are 3-6. Chase playing Miles Gaskin in the flex gives Steven a good shot at coming away with an upset there. We need as little separation from Steven as possible to get in. So tell me, you know, rough start, 37 combined points. You're still projected for 135. Who's the one player on your roster that can make the difference for you this week?
Ooh, Daniel, that's such a great question. You know, we started the whole podcast talking about my injury bugs and who I've had throughout the year and how I feel. And Alvin Kamara, I think, with this knee thing this week, is probably the guy, because I didn't have a great opportunity. You know, he's just been the guy throughout the year for me, who I got on a steal. I got him for $21, way below his projected value, but almost in a sense, you know, he hasn't performed up to his expectations. So, you know, this would be the week to decide for him. You know, I hope that he can, I think I'm going to start him, and I'm hoping that he will be, you know, give me a quality score, you know, someone like him. I think that's the guy, the linchpin. If I could get an Alvin Kamara surprise performance, that would save my day.
Yeah. You know, if I were to kind of plead my case, I saw a little bit of a dip from Deebo Samuel last week, but nothing significant. Still got 5 for 63, 11 points. But I think we're going to see him jump back above 20 this week. Niners play the Rams in a game they really need to win if they're trying to make the playoffs themselves. Deebo's broken 4 times this season. He's broken 30 twice. So hoping for a bump from him and then some of the usual production from Cooper Kupp, something in the mid 20s there. If I can, you know, when my team is the strongest this season, it relied on a heavy presence from the wide receivers. And so Mike Williams has kind of fallen out of favor here on my team. So hopefully the Deebo and Cooper combination can cover for Gesicki's zero he put up. And then I'm hoping that the ghost of Austin Eckler can maybe haunt your team one more time.
Yeah, that would be crazy if Austin really pops off. He's playing Sunday here in L.A. I've got Keenan Allen, who's also slightly questionable right now, going on the same Sunday game. We'll have to see. I think, you know, it's going to be a really great matchup. Any vampire matchup is always serious. And so we're all going to be seeing how it plays out, and it's Friday and we never know what could happen on Saturday, but this looks like the projection right now, 135 to 134 and a half with me in the lead. So,
yeah,
we'll see how this too close to call matchup goes. We don't have a lot of time, Daniel, left. So let's talk real quick about the other two battles this week. Who do you got now that we're after a Thursday game with this 5.5 put up by Myles Gaskin in the flex? You got Chase or do you got Steven?
Well, my heart says Chase. My brain says Steven. Kurt asked me earlier in the week if I thought that Chase would tank this game so that Steven would stay ahead of me in the standings and keep the vampire out of the playoffs. Hadn't really considered it till I saw the Thursday score roll around. And, you know, I don't know if that's in question or not, but Chase is the only person that could afford to lose game at 7-2. So my brain says that Steven's been getting lucky all season long. He's about to be fully healthy. I'm taking him over Chase.
And that leads us over to Deacon Dorf and Turd Ferguson. Daniel, rivalry matchup. This one's real hard to call. It's 137.5 to 132.1 with only one defense on the board in the clubhouse. Who do you think is going to win this one?
You know, I love you, Robbie, but I can
you
just
live with the other guy. You know,
can just see the wheels falling off. It's like an old timey rickety Western wagon. And like this wheel is just getting wobbly and more wobbly. And you just know eventually it's going to pop off the axle. And talked about before, Henry's injured, Logan Thomas injured, Cooper Kupp off the team, James Robinson, Damian Harris questionable. I think that this is going to be a bad snowball effect. And I think that this is Kurt's year to make the playoffs, and this is Kurt's year to take down Robbie.
I see. Now, final projections wise, where we stand right now, Robbie has a chance of missing the playoffs still. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, very much so. He's actually currently projected to finish in last place. And at some point earlier in the season, he was supposed to finish in first. You know, so he's got a lot of picking up to do, and we got to see who's going to end up in the playoffs for us. And I think the last thing we should look at is the QPC projections, Daniel.
Perfect. Yeah. Yeah. You know, Quinn, I think we should, because ESPN offers several different projection models that can kind of work against each other or offer kind of conflicting thoughts on who ESPN projects to be solid. You know, the final season projections have Robbie finishing last, but if you look at the playoff percentage chances, they give Robbie an 82% chance to make the playoffs. So if I can get it boiled down to something that I know and trust that's easy to understand, it would be something like the QPC projections.
Oh, thanks, Daniel. I appreciate that. Well, we haven't talked about the projections in about 3 weeks. And when we last left, I was doing all right, but I had come off of a 1-2 week or 2 1-2 weeks combined. So it was kind of rough on the projections. And we had Kurt from the Peanut Gallery really talking about the validity of how I was. and you know, week 7, Find the Neck went the same way. You know, I had Steven beating you, the vampire, and I got that wrong. And you took Steven for a ride that week. And I ended up 1-2 in week 7. But the last 2 weeks, week 8, Midnight, the middle of the season, and Clouds, week 9, sort of like this euphoric moment before we dive back into the battlefield that is week 10. I got those middle weeks, man. Right. I was 2-1 for those 2 weeks. So overall in the QPC projections after 9 weeks, I'm 16-11 and 5-4 in the vampire projections alone.
That's pretty good, I would say.
Oh, is that Nigel Heathcliff from the London Institute of Magic? Nigel, hi. How are you doing? We did a phone interview probably about 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago now. How have you been?
You asked me about the bloody tiger.
We do have a... yeah, Nigel, you're a little bit more with it back then, I feel like. As you get older, yeah. We did talk about a tiger, yeah. What have you been up to, and are you keeping any focus on the Cincinnati Bengals in fantasy this year?
Well, me and Sergio, we had a falling out recently. We were on a 14-hour plane flight from England to Sri Lanka. I got a case. God damn it.
You did this on yourself.
Yeah, I know. I had a case of vertigo that caused me to have violent diarrhea. Sergio was not pleased.
What drugs did you have on this flight? You always have something with you.
Nothing, Nigel. Really. Nothing. Percocet, animal uppers, they're the same strength as animal tranquilizers, but they get you moving. Of course, that was to balance out the Ambien, 3 fingers of scotch, and a 5-hour energy, watermelon flavored.
I see. Well, hey, have you looked at this week? You know, I've got a couple projections in the QPC. I've got, you know, we've got me playing the vampire. We've got Kurt playing Turd Ferguson and Chase playing Smoking Jay Cutler. You know, who do you think are going to win these 3 matchups?
Bonafex Trees, Mr. Solo Dolo, and Deacon Dorf.
That's exactly what I've got, Nigel. I've got the same thing, Nigel. It's Bonafex Trees over Stampire's back. Kurt is going to beat Turd Ferguson, and Chase is going to find a way to pull it out over Smoking Jay Cutler. I think that's how it goes, and we'll find out next week at the QPC. And after this break, we're going to transition over the Ray Lewis League. So thanks for talking vampire with us, Nigel. It was good to
a
see
psychic
you.
Connection that's probably due to the hashish.
yeah, I love you, Nige. Thanks. We'll be right back. It's like your equation for Nigel is always like, we were doing this and we were on this type of transportation and we had these drugs. That is
just traveling internationally with illegal contraband.
Yeah, that's basically like the start of every story.
ESPN The Ocho, always 100.
All right, we're back. We were just hearing a couple stories from Nigel off camera. That
guy's wild.
Yeah, the wildest things you ever heard, man. Every time with Nige. Well, Daniel, I came up with I was watching a movie this week. I was watching The Sandlot. You remember that movie?
I remember it.
Love The Sandlot. One of the best films for young sports lovers and everything. And it's going to be, it's, you know, a timeless.
Is the song Green Onions in that movie?
Yeah. It's definitely Green Onions got associated with baseball, I think, before that somehow. Maybe with even like a Bad News Bears-esque sort of time in the 70s, but they definitely hit the time right. For me, I kind of looked at the whole thing when I saw it this time as really in the grand scheme of things, this is just a developmental, like a kid's developmental baseball team for Benny Franklin Rodriguez, the best player on there. And he's basically used like only kind of like a 3-star pro with a 5-star mustache, ultimately. That's really like what this movie is in a nutshell to me. Do you have any thoughts? I know you didn't watch it recently. I'm kind of catching you a little off guard, but what are your thoughts about Sandlot in that way, you know?
Well, you know, I think it's kind of funny. I can remember vividly you and I as kids, like it probably helped propel the thought that we could put together like an AAU team. Ooh, you know, I remember like
we would
fantasize about it. But like the baseball one was like the most preposterous because you need like 15 people, 16 people to play baseball. You know, you need 9, obviously. But then you need like some bench players, you know, some backups and stuff. And I don't even know that we had like 16 friends that played baseball that weren't already playing baseball. You know what I mean?
I think even in a worse development, we might have attempted to put together a baseball team, and it all happened to be like, do we know anybody that's a catcher already?
Yeah. Yeah. That might've been a speed bump. Yeah.
Yeah. Big speed bump. But, so anyway, I was watching this movie, you know, jotting down some stuff about it. I was looking at the week 10 power rankings, and I actually, speaking of QPC projections, I projected the power rankings, the current power rankings in the league correctly on who's all placed, even though we have a bunch of similar records going on. But we've got you, Daniel, Big Red Bell sitting in first place, Derek and the Anal Fisters in second, and then Chase's Atlantic City Knockouts and Johnsonville Champs coming in at third and fourth. And then Z-Hud sitting strong right in the middle at 5-4. And then the start of a huge combination of five teams at 4-5. Huge traffic jam. Cross-Eyed Dilfer's at the top there. Steven, Purple Rain, Siren House. And then Kissin' Cousins and Jay Moneybags are the bottom of that 4-5 traffic jam.
Shout out to Money.
Yeah, what and up? Then it's hardly getting out of the driveway is Sandusky Shower and myself, Quinn here, 1-8 and 2-7, respectively. So, you know, with that, I thought, like, we are all part of this movie. You know, there's someone that we link up with and everything. And so I had to start from the top of how we're ranked right now. And Daniel, right now, you're sitting in the Benny Franklin Rodriguez role. You're here. And for Benny Franklin Rodriguez, it's quoted in the movie, baseball was life. And so I'm going to say for you, Daniel, fantasy's life. You know, you're the vampire in one league. You're at the top of the league here. You almost went perfect. You went perfect last season. You know, fantasy is life for Daniel, right?
You know, we're thriving right now. You know, if it's all cyclical, then, you know, I'll slide back down eventually. But I'm going to ride this wave and I'm going to celebrate it. And I'm really trying to practice and get better at being cocky, you know, 7-2. Like, see, well, I'm not that good yet.
But I feel like you walk around like a 3-star pro with a 5-star mustache. You know, I feel like that's a great even Daniel comparison.
Yeah, you know, as the beard has grown, the mustache blends in more and doesn't get the recognition it deserves.
Right.
But you've got to embrace the lifestyle and the mentality. And that'll get you far. That'll get you far in baseball. That'll get you far in life. Relied on keepers, drafted well, and got lucky, and got Cooper Kupp. So that's the story of my season in a nutshell.
100%. Several tools, and you can become an all-star baseball player. I thought it was easy to put me as the Scott Smalls role, the narrator of the film. Obviously, you know, we're doing this podcast, and that's the meta part. And the fact that he's terrible is the other part, and plays with a plastic glove and a dumb hat. It's kind of how my one in eight season's gone so far.
Dennis Leary's your stepdad.
Yeah. I'm really trying to like get a hug in a way from someone. I almost had it from Z-Hud or from Jay Moneybags himself this last week, but he won by 5 and hit me in the eye. And so he was slapping a steak on me. But anyway, yeah, and just the character of the guy is hilarious because I feel like I'm dumb a little bit or just goofy like him, where he, like in the movie, when Wendy Peppercorn comes around the pool, right, and squints, you know, he fakes, he does the big dive off the diving board, and then he fakes like he drowns.
Sexually assaults her.
And then sexually assaults her, exactly. That part of the movie did not hold up well. And Scott Smalls, in that sense, he says, you know, what he had done was sneaky, rotten, and low. And cool. I was like, yeah. Oh my God. That would be, I would be like, you know, that was sneaky. That was rotten, Daniel. That was low, but that was cool. And I was like, if I, you know, do I know me? Do I know me? And so that was.
Along those lines, it would be cool if you went through the whole season with one win, but you were also like trying really hard the whole time.
Yeah, I'm still coming into the office for sure. But maybe my focus is a little bit different. You know, obviously there's no way I can make the playoffs now. So I would see that, you know, I got to focus on next year. Think about this thing as a dynasty and see who I can keep. You know, I guess at this point I'll just make the quick announcement. Da-da-da, da-da-da. I'm looking for a keeper trade. And hey, man, I'm here to work. I've got a bunch of good guys like Tyler Lockett, Debo Samuel, Jalen Hurts.
Services on the podcast.
I'm just saying. Anyway, moving on. Daniel, I thought a great position that we had to fill was one of these low key ones, and we don't. He doesn't get a lot of talk, but it's Bertram Grover Weeks. Do you remember that character?
I'm pulling up the cast list now. Yeah,
Bertram Grover Weeks was the tall kid in the group who was taller than Benny. He had the glasses, but he had some skill. He knew how to play and he had a lot of attitude and he was confident. And he said he looks like a dead fish when Squints was passing out. That was what one of his big lines was.
I see him now. Yeah.
But he's good, man. He's the guy that's like, we can't get Smalls. He can't even play, you know? And he's the guy that brought up how the last dude, Elswanger, he had moved to Scottsdale, and but he could play ball, but Smalls can't, you know. So he can see talent, and he's got a good line. Oh, he looks like a dead fish. And that guy was Anal Fisters, Derek. Totally. He's you know, one of the best players on the team, and he's got these memorable quotes, like Big Red Bells from his commercial. It just really fit my stuff, a tall guy like him. So I got Derek there. But it leads you to think about some of the big, more notable characters who had larger roles in the film, and that's Hamilton Porter Ham, our catcher for the film. You a fan of that character?
Scene stealer. Star scene of the show.
Stealer. Huge scene stealer. He talked, you know, obviously big rewatchable scene was How to Make a S'more. You know, talks about the Malo, talks about all that shit, you know.
I just love his shit talking when he's playing catcher. Like,
yeah, when they play that team, they play.
If you played baseball, inevitably you come across some catcher who wanted to be like that kid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, either it got under your skin or it didn't. I always thought it was kind of funny. But
yeah.
Yeah, I love it when he's doing that.
Yeah, I've got Tristan.
Perfect. Perfect. Just so you guys know, I do not know Quinn's list.
Yeah. Yeah, so I got him in the ham roll, the Johnsonville champs. Obviously, pork was a combination there. And I think Tristan's a low-key, really good shit talker.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree.
You might only catch him. He only does it from home in his garage. But damn, you know, I don't know. If you'll text some
Tristan, you're probably in the garage right now.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
What's up, Katie?
Hey, Katie.
Yeah. What's up, other Katie, for Steven?
Hey, Katie.
Yeah.
To all the other Katies out there. One, two, three. Hey, Katie.
Hey, Katie.
Oh, God. One, two, three. Hey, Katie.
Hey, Katie.
God damn it.
You put a time to it, so I'll be able to line it up.
Yeah, you'll get it. You want to do it one more time?
No, we got it.
One, two, three. Hey, Katie.
Okay, see, we knew what to do there. We're good. All right, moving on. Ham Porter Ham, great role. You know, Tristan won last year. Tristan could win again. You know, he's got a big future ahead of him. But I thought Yeah Yeah was Andy.
Which one's that?
Yeah Yeah was the kid that always says Yeah Yeah. And And he's kind of one of the smaller guys, but he's super energetic, got some skill, Italian. You know, he's like a good-looking little chap.
Okay, the Italian kid.
Yeah, yeah. And he keeps Mikey Squints Palidorus on track. And basically, you know, he's the guy that's like, you know, come on, Squints, come on, we got to go play, keep walking, let's go. You know, he really wants to play the game. He's into it. He's got a lot of fervor for the league. And that's, that's Andy to a team.
Which one had the Erector set?
Smalls. Smalls had it. He was building it at his house. Yeah, and he's the one that brought it when they, obviously, you know, you're talking about, they've knocked the Babe Ruth ball over the fence.
You ever heard an Erector set growing up?
You know, I never did. My brother had some, and I feel like my parents were weirdly doing stuff where like, okay, you know, Hadley comes from a different era, so maybe we were different toys for her, but for my brother and me, it's like Adam gets an Erector set. Yeah, Adam gets an Erector set, and I get Legos. And I was like, I could do the Erector set. They're like, no, that's fine. Here, do Legos. So I don't know. Maybe they thought that Adam had more capability. You know?
Yeah.
Dan.
Agree to disagree.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks, Dan. All right. So one of the highlights, the sexual offender himself, Mike Squints Palidorus.
Can't wait to hear you who you compare him to.
Yeah, all right, so so Daniel, Tristan, Derek, and Andy, and Quinn are off the board. We still have Chase, Z-Hud, Steven, J Moneybags, Cross-Eyed Dilfers, and Sandusky Shower, of course. So, back to Mike Squints Palidorus. A lot of things on his mind, quoted in the movie. He's really not interested in the game. He's all about perving a dish. That's what it's, I'm just saying quotes from the movie that he said. All right. But he's, you know, who do you think I got in that role?
Chase.
That's a good bet. I don't have Chase there. I kind of went with the kissing.
Oh, Sam.
And so no, Sam kissing cousins. Yeah. He's got a lot on his mind. He's got his new podcast.
Yeah. Let me show you something.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break. Check out Let Me Show You Something.
Coming this winter, it's Let Me Show You Something with the Skin Cannon. Sam King Cannon.
I'm the horticulturalist. And today I'm looking at the landscape irrigation system. And trying to make sure that everything's functioning properly and that everything's getting covered.
Coming this winter, let me show you something.
Covered.
With the Skin Cannon, Sam King Cannon.
All right, it's a great show. Obviously, you know, on all the platforms. But yeah, I've got Mike Squints Palidorus going to Sam. I think that'd be a real fun role for him to play. I think he could dive off a diving board. He could play dead. He could be the dead fish, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Sam's the guy. And that leaves our last main characters on the team, Timmy and Tommy Timmons. The older and younger brother, Timmy, the oldest, likes to say something, and then Tommy will repeat it kind of thing. And they both have some nice, they play a good game. And they're having a lot of fun, and they're really interested in the whole thing.
I got a lot of fun.
Yeah, I got Z-Hud and Steven this year, the 5-4, 4-5 duo, sitting there in tandem down there in Texas.
Wunderbar.
Yeah, but you know, so that's all the players from Sandlot, but that's not all the players in the whole film, is it, Dan? We got a lot of characters left to play. One of my favorites has got to be the Beast. Right? The dog, the big dog. And I had to give that to our guy, Scott King, Cross-Eyed Dilfer.
The beast.
The beast at 4-5. In a sense, you know, he's got a big bark and he's very intimidating and everything, but he can be beaten. So I had to give it, you know, there is some, you know, he gets beaten at the end of the thing. Cross-Eyed Dilfer has lost 5 times. He needs to turn it around and get back to his glory days like the dog does. So I think it's possible for him. I think there's a redemption for Scott. He's 4-5. He can make the playoffs. He's at the top of the 4-5 junket currently. Next, I wanted to hit up Sandusky Shower. I thought Sandusky Shower, I just love his vibe. And and I wanted him to be in the blind James Earl Jones role.
He was blind?
Yeah. Remember he had like black sunglasses inside and he couldn't really see anymore. That's why they had all those profile bit like shots of James Earl Jones like talking to the air, because he was like talking to the air because he was blind.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So Sandusky Shower, 2-7. He's already been there, done that. Doesn't need to do anything more. And let's see. Real quick, I had Wendy Peppercorn was Chase's mom. And last but not least is
she
Jay.
She wears it well.
Yeah. The last person on the list is Jay Moneybags. Pew, 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 pew.
Money.
And Money gets to be the villain. Money's going to be the lead baseball player on the opposing baseball team, that kid, Phillip. And he plays for it was a T team. I think they're the Tigers. So he's the leader of the Tigers, the villains in this sense. And Jay Moneybags at 4-5 at the bottom of the pack. He's looking to come in, make the playoffs, and ruin everybody's day. Still got a chance to. And that's the Sandlot, Daniel. We missed it. We missed one player, Chase. How could forget our stoner of the league? How could we forget about him? I didn't get to give him his role. Daniel, my favorite placement probably was actually putting Chase here. Chase, I got him down as Kenny DeNunez. Do you remember Kenny DeNunez?
No.
He was the black guy, played pitcher. Remember, he was the pitcher on the team?
Jesse from the Mighty Ducks.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I got Chase's Jesse from the Mighty Ducks, Kenny DeNunez. He was confident. He was the pitcher. And when they were talking about tobacco, he said, "Yeah, man, all the pros do it." So I thought that really fit Chase to the T. And so again, Scott Small's the narrator, is going to be played by me. Ben Franklin Rodriguez is Daniel. Hamilton Porter is Tristan. Kenny DeNunez is Chase. Bertram Grover Weeks is Derek. Yeah, yeah, is Andy. Mike Squints Palladoris is Team Kissing Cousins. Timmy and Tommy Tindons goes to Z-Hud and Purple Rain. Phillip, the villains, Jay Moneybags, the Beast, Cross-Eyed Dilfer, Chase's mom's Winnie Peppercorn, and James Earl Jones, played by Sandusky Shower. And not listed is Grim Fraish as Elswinger. The never-ending game, 10 years in the league, Daniel. That's what they called this Sandlot. Beautiful thing. Well, it was great to hang today, catch up. This one's a little bit looser of a podcast, as you guys can tell.
So loose. So, Quinn, you know, before before I let you go, we covered the cast and crew Sandlot to the Ray Lewis League. Just give me like 2 minutes on what it's like to be 1-8.
All
is
right.
That we don't have time. Okay. No, all right. Well,
no, we
for
got
Quinn
time.
Carson, I'm Daniel Week. This is the Vampire Journals podcast.
You really want me to tell you?